Happy Sabbath, all. Happy Sabbath. Bon Sabbath. Feliz Sabado. Shabbat Shalom. All right, all right, all right, all right. So thank you to the worship team today for lifting up the name of Jesus, only the name of Jesus during that set. And yes, it actually does align with a lot of what's going on. With that being said, we're going to get right into the word today. If you don't have a hardcover Bible, hopefully you have a phone Bible, because we're going to read the Bible. Normally I come with the PowerPoint. Today I decided I'm just going to come with the Bible. All right. So with that being said, go ahead and high five your neighbor and say, I love the word. See, y'all don't even want to lie about it. No enthusiasm, no nothing. All right. All right, all right. If you're online, we'll be watching online too, so feel free to join in as we explore the word today. Thank you, Mama.
Appreciate you. Okay, you can go back now.
That's my daughter, yes. I think I'm going to start with the end. My brother always says he likes starting with the end in mind. So we're going to be closing out in these verses here. It's going to be in Genesis 21. Genesis 21, Genesis 21. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. You just have to flip into you see that 21 in your book or on your number on your phone. We're going to Genesis 21, and we are going to read verses 15 through 19. We're going to read verse 15 through 19. Genesis 21, verses 15 through 19. This is where we're going to end today. So knowing where we're going to end is going to help you understand what direction we are going. Let us read Genesis 21, verse 15. It says, when the water in the skin was used up, she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him about a bow shoot away, for she said, do not let me see the boy die. She doesn't want to see the boy what?
Die.
And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Verse 17, God heard the lad crying. God did what? God heard. Got to remember that. We're starting with the end in mind. God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. We're talking about side quests and side chicks. Let us pray. God, our Father in heaven, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds to your word, that they may not return void. And for whether we're listening today or in the future, whether we're listening today in the house or in a physical house that you cannot come and participate, Holy Spirit, be there, be the same, and be powerful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so as always, I'd like to do a feelings check for off again. So go ahead and turn next to your neighbor, or you don't have to turn. People don't like to turn to their neighbors. But go ahead and share with the person next to you how you are feeling. How are you feeling today? How are you feeling today? Randall, how you feeling today? You sleepy? You tired? That's real. That's real. We got some tired folks in the building? All right. Anybody feeling like not tired? Like you feeling something else? The kids are happy. Praise God. The kids are happy. That's a good place to be. When you come to church and you're happy, that's a good place. All right, so we're kind of tired today, so I'm okay with that. We can work with that. We can keep that energy, right? So now that I'm aware where we are, I am going to let you know that I need you in order to move forward with what we're doing. So when I talk, I'm just asking you to talk back, because I'm literally going to ask you guys questions about the text. The more that I know that you've read the text, the easier it is going to be for you to get the text, all right? So we start in Genesis 21. Does anybody know who this is actually talking about in Genesis 21, verse 15? I don't know if the name actually came up. Oh, the name did come up. Who is it talking about?
Hagar.
Hagar, all right, we're talking about Hagar. And it says that Hagar had a lad. Who is the lad that's with Hagar? Is it in this text that it tells you that? How y'all know that? Where's the proof? How y'all know it's Ishmael? See, y'all playing games. See? I'm asking y'all to read y'all Bible, and y'all just telling me what y'all know. Okay, all right. We're going to jump back. So Hagar, let's jump back. Let's go find out who Hagar is. I'm going to ask you guys to go all the way back to Genesis 16. Genesis 16. Genesis 16, verse 1 reads, I'm giving you guys a chance to get there. When you got to say amen, if you don't got to say mercy. All right, amen. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 16, we're reading. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So who's Hagar? Hagar's a, what, we calling her a side chick already? Okay, your text says Egyptian slave? All right, anybody else text say something besides Egyptian slave? Maidservant. So essentially, we know that this person is not equal with them, right? They have power, authority, autonomy over this individual. Her name is Hagar, and she is Egyptian, right? So we got that. We got that together. So Sarai said to Abram, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I will attain children through her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So real quick, who knows the voice? Who knows the story of Abraham and Sarah and having their first son? Y'all know the story? Just raise your hand if you know the story so I can make assumptions. Appreciate it. We know the story. Let me tell y'all something. I ain't going to lie. When I was reading this, I was like, people don't talk about this right here. I feel like people don't talk about it, and you might already know about it, but I was so surprised because I always thought that Abraham took Hagar. I always thought he took her. He was an obedient husband. He was an obedient husband. In fact, what the scripture tells us is that Sarai gave Hagar. And the first verse of this text tells us why. It says because she saw that she had no children. Now, why would Sarah give Abraham the side chick when she sees she has no children? Because y'all know the text, so y'all just going to tell me. Promise. Because of a promise. Let's keep reading. After Abraham had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, verse 3, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to the husband, Abram, as his what? Ooh, them translations be playing with y'all. As his, all y'all translations say mistress. All y'all translations say mistress. All right. So let me put it like this. So how do we go from that's okay, we can take it. How do we go from maidservant or slave to wife? So the actual word is like woman, but used in this context, it could mean wife. But the reader wants you to understand that like this is illegitimate. It's only illegitimate in the face of the promise. But it's not illegitimate to Abram and Sarai because she understands in order for there to be an heir, the person needs to have equal relationship. So it can't be a side chick. It has to be a wife. Okay, I'm not going to have children. We need to have an heir. The heir needs to be a part of the family. Can't be a servant. It has to be a wife. Cool. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. And Sarai said to Abram, May the wrong done to me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me. So when we talk about side quest and side chick, it is very important for us to recognize the difference between our heart and our hand, right? It's important to recognize when we're going ourselves into deliverance or when we're taking ourselves into delay. Because God had promised Abram. Abram relayed the promise to his wife. And his wife says, you know what? Here is my hand in this decision. And when the child is conceived and things come out of place and the chips fall, she recognized her heart was never into the promise. If she had true faith for what had happened, she would be like, you know what? God said it's going to happen, and this is how it has happened. That is my opinion. That is my perspective. But the point is, we have to make sure that when God is telling us to do something, that our heart is where our hands is. In other words, we have to make sure that when we go about our side quest, we're trusted in where the chips may fall. And so I'm just going to get straight to the application, and then we come back right back, because it's 12:36. I'm going to move you guys very quick today. When it comes to our faith, God has promised us some things. God is going to be there with you. God is going to give you wisdom. God is going to cover for you. God is going to provide for you. God is going to hear you. God is going to see you. And so what happens is, when we are aware of the promise, sometimes we get ourselves into school, right? Sometimes we get ourselves into a credit card, right? Sometimes we get ourselves into a relationship, right? And because we have gotten ourselves into this, and we know that God is going to provide, take care, see, hear, God's going to give us wisdom, God's going to do that thing, we start to get on these side quests thinking that God is going to bless everything we do on the side quests. And if you guys don't know what side quests are, any video game people, anybody play video games here? Nate, you play a video game. Are side quests important in the video game? They are. You think they're important? It depends. Chiron, are side quests important in a video game? Your games do not have side. You play a game with no side quests. No side quests at all. All right, back to Nate then. Nate, why would a game have side quests in it? So you can gain rewards. What else? So you can gain rewards, so you can get achievements. In other words, side quests, right, can be nothing at all or be very important. I played games growing up, and one game I enjoyed to play very much was called Pokemon. You guys may be aware Pokemon is one of the most popular games as well as one of the popular animations of all time. In Pokemon, I learned very quickly that I need to be very intentional about the side quests. Because if you've never played a game, this is how side quests work. You're driving around, walking around, whatever, and you see an individual, and they say, meh, 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 meh. And they present this thing to you. They present this challenge, this option, this opportunity, and you have the option of saying yes or no. Sometimes when you go on the side quest, they say, if you do this, you will get this. But more often than not, you don't have no idea what the reward will be for that side quest. But what I quickly learned is that sometimes you cannot get to where you're going, or you cannot get the reward you need or the object or item you need until you do the side quest. I'm going straight to application here. I'm sorry, we're going to get back into the text. Until you do the side quest. And the problem as Christians is that there is this thing where we understand what faith in Jesus is, but can't recognize that the faith in Jesus is going to produce works because of my faith in Jesus. And so what happens is prayer becomes a side quest. What happens is reading your scripture becomes a side quest. What happens is loving your neighbor becomes a side quest, because I understand if I accept Jesus like the thief on the cross, all I have to say is, and God will say, I will see you in paradise, because everything else is a side quest. However, if you play games enough, you will understand, in order to actually explore new territories, in order to get certain items, there are only things that you are going to achieve if you partake in the side quest. So you're wondering why you're acting dumb with every decision and relationship you had. You're not doing the side quest. You're not doing the things that God tells you is going to happen once you fall in love with him. You're not seeing how he wants you to see people and things once you fall in love with him, because you believe that all you have to do is have faith. So I'm going to go back in the text, because this is important, right? I'm going to go back into why Hagar was a side chick. And Hagar is our side chick biblically. Like, how many sermons are we hearing on Hagar? How many devotions we hearing on Hagar? She's like our spiritual side chick, right? Like, and I'm gonna show y'all. Well, I'm gonna show you guys why God did not write Hagar in as a side chick into this story. All right, so this happens. Sarai gets mad. And in verse 7, it says, now the angel of the Lord, Sarai gets mad. In verse 6, what does Sarai do in response to Hagar? Hagar having a kid, what does Sarai do in response? Come on, we're trying to move fast. Y'all talk to me. She bullied her. She bullied her, right? She mistreated her. And what does Hagar do? She takes off. She takes off. And it says, now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. He said to Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you will call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. I would love to hear what it says. When it says, you will call your name Ishmael because the Lord what? What does your translation say? Because the Lord does what? Because the Lord heard, right? Ishmael means God hears, right? Because the Lord heard your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of man among men. He will be, his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. He will live to the east of all his brothers. And this is cool. This is cool. And this is what you don't want to miss, right? Verse 13. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. And she says, you are a God who sees me. For she said, I have even remained alive here after seeing him. Hagar is fleeing a situation where she is being mistreated. She was already in the situation as lesser. So to have a God who sees her in her situation is powerful. That's why we go to the people we trust and we can be comforted, right? Because I might have a problem, Randall, but when I come to you, you may not see me. You may not be able to relate. You may not be able to understand. You may not be able to recognize what it is. But God sees a slave, an Egyptian slave, who was expedited to a position that nobody recognized and then thrown out because she had no power in the wilderness with nobody else there. And God hears and sees her. God is using Hagar as a template to make us recognize that you can be heard and seen by God no matter who you are and no matter where you are. No power, no possessions, and no people. And God is giving her a promise that no one can break. And you have to recognize, Hagar recognizes this promise because Hagar was there too while God was promising something to Abram and Sarai. So she understands the power of God's promise. But there's something else I don't want you to miss out on, because we're going to end very quickly. What kind of angel came to Hagar? What kind of angel came to Hagar? Go back a couple of verses. I'm going to give you a hint. It's in verse 9. What kind of angel came to Sarah? I'm sorry, to Hagar, excuse me. What kind of angel was it? Read the text, it's in there. What kind of angel? Did y'all find it? An angel of the Lord. So the angel of the Lord gives Sarai the side quest option that she can do. And then the angel says something very interesting. The angel of the Lord says to her at verse 10, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count. Guys, who makes and keeps promises in Scripture? This ain't no regular angel. This angel shows up to Hagar says, yo, I hear you and I see you. And the angel says, here's a promise. How many people in scripture can interact with humans and still be God? And intercede on behalf of God? How many humans in scripture can do that? One. And if you didn't catch it, the scripture makes it clear for us. After she has the interaction, in verse 37, in verse 13, she says, then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. If you have a certain translation, the word Lord is in all caps because it's recognizing this isn't any God. This is a Yahweh intimate relationship, have a covenant God. He says, you are a God who sees, El Elroy. You are a God who sees. I have seen him and remained alive. This was not just an angel. It is the one person who can show up and interact with humans and speak on behalf of God and actually be God. Scripture is actually hinting to us that this is Jesus. So when I say God will show up to you, no matter who you are and where you are, God didn't send an angel to Hagar. God sent his son to Hagar. But the story doesn't end there. As we continue, I'm going to take you out of chapter 17. We're going to skip chapter 17. 17 looks like side quest, but it's a part of the story. But at the end of chapter 16, it tells us this. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. How old was Abram? He was 86. Verse 17, chapter 17, verse 1 tells us Abraham is how old? 99. He is 99 years old. So between one verse is how many years? Come on, my mathematician. 86 and 99. Between one verse is how many years? All right, so they were waiting 10 years after the promise, no baby. They waited another 13 years, no baby. How much time is that? 13 plus 10. 23 years, no baby for Abram and Sarai. I really wonder if Sarai was like, I don't know, God, maybe Ishmael is the son you was going to give us? Like, I have no idea what Sarai was thinking. Like, what would you think at this point? Like, seriously, what would you think at this point? It's a wrap. It's done?
I misunderstood what God said.
Something is off because Jesus goes, and I'm going to just say Jesus so we don't miss it. Jesus goes to Hagar, and Hagar has a choice of coming back or just going or just fleeing. And we know that she said yes because she comes back up in this, right? So she's back in the picture, and now Sarai has to be around this thing and be like, well, God, are you really doing this? Like, is this something really happening? And is it okay? Like, what's going on here? And in verse 17, God comes back, right? 13 years later, or 86 to 99, 13 years later, he reiterates the covenant. In verse 17, after he tells Abram that, yo, it's actually going to be Sarai who's the parent, Abram falls on his face and laughs and says in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old and with Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? So now Sarah knows that she got it wrong. Like she 100% knows that she got it wrong because God gave the promise. They had a son, but God came back and said, look, Abram, no. The way your life was set up the first time is the way I wanted you to keep it. I wanted you to keep your relationship with me and continue to walk with me. I wanted you to trust me that I was going to continue to provide with you. I wanted to trust you that when I took care of you with the wars, because Abraham has fought whole wars before this moment at this time and is winning. I wanted you to trust you that I was multiplying and adding on to you. And I wanted to trust you, although it didn't look like everybody else thought it would, that I was going to take care of the situation. And what God is trying to tell us through this text is that what the promise he gave you in the beginning, God is saying, I am equipping you for the rest of the fulfillment of the promise. Or I am giving you everything you need for the rest of the promise. You can't get a promise from God and say, well, God, got it from here. That's all I needed was the word. Like, that's all I needed was a promise. No, trusting God can't be a side quest. Walking in obedience to what God is telling you cannot be a side quest. The things that God is telling you cannot be a side chick. And you know what's crazy about side chicks? They're supposed to be private. And unfortunately, so is a lot of our Christian lives. And God is wanting to show up in some places because you know what? I don't know if you Abram, Sarai, or Hagar, but I know because everywhere Abram goes in this text, Jesus shows up. And I would truly believe that everywhere we go and we're obedient to God, Jesus is showing up in the lives of our coworkers, in the lives of our children, in the lives of the places we frequent, because we're showing up and bringing the presence of God with us. And I'm gonna wrap it up, right? Right? I'm gonna wrap it up. So, chapter 18. So, in 17, God says, "Look, I'm gonna give y'all a kid." Abram laughs. He's like, "You can't do it. You can't do it. We owe this dirt. We owe this dirt. We owe this dirt." And in chapter 18, this is what happens. In chapter 18, verse 10, God says, "Look, surely I will return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. And y'all know what happens next, right? Sarah hears that that God's making a promise. And Sarah does what? Sarah laughs. And I love it because after she laughs, in verse 15, God, who hears and sees, is like, "Yo, I heard you laughing." And Sarah's like, nah, I wasn't laughing. I wasn't laughing at the promise. God, who hears and sees, laughs. And so she laughs. And then he says, God says, "Look, in 1 year, I'm going to give you this child. In 1 year, I'm going to give you this child." If you flip your Bible, it doesn't happen in chapter 19. It looks like a side quest and a side story, but it's not. It's actually Jesus showing up to people who we think are not allowed to have God. Jesus is showing up to all these people. I'm just letting you guys know, the reason why chapter 19 is here is because God is showing up to these people, right? Chapter 20. God is again showing up to people who we don't think should have God. So you can read that on your spare time. Chapter 21. I want to get to verse 9, right? So chapter 21. It says in verse 1, Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So the Lord said, in a year you're going to have a baby, and what happens in a year? She got pregnant. So at 100 years old, Abram's a father, and at this time, Ishmael is actually around 14 years old. Verse 9, let's get to verse 9. It says, now Sarah, let's read from verse 8, so you guys need the context on this, right? The child grew and was weaned, and Abram made a great feast on that day that Isaac was weaned. Abram makes a great feast because the baby ain't breastfeeding no more. Come on, we free, me and mom, we locking up now, let's get it done. And in verse 9 it says, now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abram. My text says mocking. Does anybody text say something besides mocking? Scoffing. Guys, again, I think the text is doing something. Abram laughs when God tells them they're going to have a baby. Sarah laughs when God tells them they're going to have a baby. In different texts, in different scenarios, the scripture tells us this. And now all of a sudden, so just so you guys know, this word for mocking is actually the same word for laughing or playing. He's 14 years old. I don't know how many 14-year-olds you know. I don't know how many kids you know where there's a huge age gap. Like between my daughter and my son, I was just telling my wife this yesterday, I think. I'm like, I don't know how they're best friends. Like, she does something silly and they're playing around and they're huge. Now, what we do know, whatever Ishmael does involves laughing and fun and play. And that goes right in line with what a 14-year-old does. Sarah sees the laughing. Sarah sees the laughing and was like, "Gots to go. This laughing is too much. You playing around too much because you know what? Now I got my promise and now I can be who I want to be." Right? Because up until this point, she could have been sending them off. This boy would have been wilding out. Kids develop like that, right? They do some crazy DUMB stuff and you might not want them to be there. And she is a maid. She doesn't have to be there. She already kicked her away. But she kept it because she never saw the promise come. And when 13 years later, one more year later, when she's 99 and the promise comes, the first thing that she do, kick her out. She had enough faith to wait until she could jettison the side chick. She had enough faith to wait until she could jettison her quote-unquote side quest. Because, well, you know what, God, you promised it, and you promised it before, and it took a long time, and I know you gave a timeline on it this time, but God, I don't see it yet, so until you do this, God, I'm gonna hold on to my life vest. I'm gonna hold on to this drug. I'm gonna hold on to this person. I'm gonna hold on to this coping skill. I'm gonna hold on to this technique, because God, until you show up and give me healing, God, until you show up and give me rest, God, until you show up and give me this job, God, until you show me up and give me this different situation, God, I'm gonna hold on to this hurt. And when you finally do what you gotta do, then I'm gonna do what I think I got to do. And unfortunately, God don't work that way. Because God was going to give her the child, whether they gave Hagar up or not. And unfortunately for us, and pleasantly for us, we get to see that God's promise cannot be broken by our stupidity. God's promise cannot be stopped by our stupidity. God's promise cannot be impeded by our stupidity. Because God's promise is checked, cashed, and owned by God. And so she kicks him out. It's not the first time she kicks him out. It's the second time we kick him out. The first and the second time she kicks him out is because of God's promise, which is crazy. It is crazy to be jealous of what God is doing for somebody else because you don't have enough faith for what God is going to do for you. It is absolutely insane. All right, here we go. We're wrapping up. Genesis 21. Drive out the maid. She goes to Sarai goes to Abram. She says, yo, kick him out, kick him out, kick him out. And Abram is like, dang, like verse 11, it says the matter distressed Abram greatly because of his son. And Abram is like, dang, like for real, like you want me to do it? And she's like, yeah, man, you got to kick him out. So they kick him out. Fortunately, Hagar, this is not her first time in this situation. And in verse 14, it says, Abram rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was used up, we already read this verse, so you guys should know now, here's the context, she left the boy under one of the bushes. Guys, how old is Ishmael at this time? Did y'all remember I told y'all? He's like 14. Yeah, he's a solid teen. She's hiding this man in the bushes because the heat is out there so bad. And apparently the bush is not big enough for the both of them or whatever the decision she's made, because it says, then she went and sat down opposite him, far enough away, and she says, do not let me see the boy die. They had a piece of bread and water. And lifted up her voice and wept. Now, remember, what is Ishmael's name? God hears. So she is crying. She's crying about her son, Ishmael. And every time she says the name Ishmael, every time she thinks about Ishmael, she has to be reminded that God hears. And she's in the desert thinking that she's about to die, but God hears. That's hard to cope with. And in verse 17, it says that God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Did God give Hagar a promise before this? Did God witness how God's promise conceptualized through Abraham and Sarai? Is it possible that Abraham and Sarai's promise is just as powerful as the promise of God and Hagar? Hagar is not no side chick. Hagar is not no side chick. Hagar is actually a main person in the story. It says, God, and she said, he says, arise, lift up your head, and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him. And here's the part. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin. Do you guys remember where the promise was first made with her? This is literally a repeat. She gets thrown out. She goes out. She gets by a well. She calls the well God sees, right? She calls the well God sees because she recognized that, oh my gosh, God actually sees me. Like, the God of the entire world sees me. And now here she is, gets kicked out again. And I think 13 years is a long enough time to forget that God did something for you. Forget that God gave you a promise, right? I think that's enough time. Is it enough time? Is enough time to forget the promise that God gave you? All right, we're not going to be honest. We don't know. We don't know. All right. So she's back at the well again. And God opens her eyes. This is a spiritual opening, right? This is a spiritual opening. Every time you see the word God opens their eyes in scripture, it's not like God just was like, oh, you had your eyes closed. It's not like God is doing something to their perspective to shift their mind of their concept, of their consequences and their situation. And she sees a well. And so when she sees the well, what she is reminded of is, man, when I learned that God sees me, I saw the well. And when I see the well, every time I see the well, I should be recognized that God sees. And here's the crazy part about seeing the well. And we're ending here. We're done. Here's the crazy part about seeing the well. Well. Is that the well looks different for every single one of us. Because what the scripture explicitly tells us is that once she is sent far out, away from Abraham, because the way we read the text is that if Abraham is there, God is there. So where there is no Abraham, there is no God. But the scripture is actually showing us that wherever God wants to be, whoever God needs to be with, there is a God. And so he sends Hagar all the way out there, and the scripture tells us that God found her. The scripture actually tells us that the angel of the Lord, a.k.a. Jesus, goes to find Hagar. He don't just look out there and be like, Hagar, are you straight? No. The angel of the Lord goes down to find and see and interact and talk with and encourage Hagar at the well. And just like Jesus was the first time, Jesus is still the same 13 years later and goes to find Hagar. But Hagar's response is different this time. The first time she was just crying. This time she's praying. Hagar recognizes that God sees me. And I understand that his name is God hears me. And I think I get this concept of that. Even though my situation sucks, even though I have no power over this consequence, even though it's not my fault, even though all of these circumstances exist, I can trust that God is going to hear me. And unfortunately, when we turn to our wells, we don't return to our wells because we think God hears us. We don't return to the boy, the bed, the drugs, the gang, the gun, the violence, the self-hate. We don't return there because we think God sees us. In fact, we turn there because of the opposite. We think that we are not seen nor heard. And so my encouragement today for all of you guys, Hagar is not a side chick, nor does God send us on a side quest to find out what's happening with her. In fact, God is encouraging us and reminding us that you are incredibly important to him. That's why it is explicit to let us know that an angel of the Lord, who is Jesus, is showing up to a slave, to a non-Israelite descendant, to a person who had never heard about God before, to have the full example and experience of salvation, to have the full promise of salvation. And I want to leave on the idea of a side chick and Jesus. Oftentimes, as parents, as friends, as coworkers, as bosses, as people in our purview, we think that people cannot have their own relationship with Jesus. And the reality of it is that I can be 100 years deep in this thing, and you can be 2 days deep in this thing, and the same Jesus has to show up. The same Jesus has to keep his promise. The same Jesus has to deliver us. The same Jesus is the one who overcomes sin and this world and has come back and told us, I can do that for you too. The same Jesus says, I hear and I see you. Scripture tells us his ear is not too dull to hear, nor his arms too short to save. So I don't care where you think you are right now, in the online world, in the real world. I don't care how far you think you've gone. I don't care who threw you out of the church. I don't care who told you how sinful you are. I don't care what drug, drink, or person you did yesterday. God says, I hear and I see you. And he doesn't do with the best and most important people in Scripture. He continues to do it with the least unseen, unheard, and not powerful people in Scripture. I had a story. I'm not going to share it. I'm just going to pray. I think it landed. God bless. God bless. God bless your word today. Let us pray. God, our Father in heaven, we trust through opening your word that you are showing us who you are. We trust that in your word that we can recognize the places in our lives that need you. And Father God, I'm asking that there's anybody in this room today who came with the lie of the devil, who has made a delay, a denial, because they can't see you or hear you, that God, you show up and you say, I hear you. You show up and you say, what's wrong? So Jesus, thank you caring intimately about us. Open our hearts, open our ears. And as you did for Hagar, for someone here today, God, open their eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.